Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode on today, not in the sense of a series,
but some concerns that's been on my heart as a man of God to bring forth some information in the midst of seeming to be what troubling times that we all may go through, we all may have. But we're not going to delay the time. We're going to give it an open up with prayer. We're going to get right into this word. We're going to hear thus what the Lord has to say. Got a few announcements I want to bring to you. First of all, for those who want to be in contact with me here at Harvest New Life Church, Pastor Charles Ellis, you can call in 214-870-2146. Matter of fact, that's my personal number. If you want to know all about the ministry and what we're doing here at Harvest New Life, you can go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. And when you go to the website, just look over to services. You see all the events and everything that take place concerning this ministry and what we are doing. Call in at number 9 for those who want to join us online in the discussion of this chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, which we will be in the book of Deuteronomy on tonight. It's 347-637-1074. Let's open up a prayer and let's hear what the Lord has to say this morning. This afternoon, I'm sorry. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We declare your word, we decree it, we speak it, we call it to come forth. Lord, we ask you, Father God, that every outside unchecked spirit that you bring under control, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I declare by the word of God, by the power of the Spirit, that even as we begin to move, Lord, I'm asking you, Father God, to be with us during this time of prayer, right in the midst of what seemed to be a diverse situation. Father God, I declare the word, I decree it, I speak it. These things I'm asking not of myself, but of the name of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Got my little daughter in the studio with me this afternoon. She might be kind of, you know, some good for her to be here, you know, for her to learn to see what her father does in terms of keeping the power in the midst of the home, and how she will learn how to keep the power in the midst of our home when God raises her up and blesses her with a husband. So we ask in each and every one of you, just maintain, just be with us, and let's hear what the word has to say, and not what we're hearing on the opposite side. So we just thank God in the name of Jesus for the opportunity just to be on the line tonight. Amen. Let's open up to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's open up to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let's see what the word of God has to say in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to look at this real close in the first 3 verses. We really want to break some stuff up here and hear what the Lord has to say according to the kingdom of God. Now, the word reads over in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. He said, all the commandments. Now, we understand the commandments. We spoke a little bit about those who are in service with us when we talked about the repentance, and we talked about the one about Paul and Silas over in the book of Acts 16 when they went into prison. But one thing about the commandments, all the commandments, God has scheduled the commandments. Now, the commandments don't save you. But as a man and woman of God is of kingdom, this is the laws and rules and regulations that come from the kingdom that we must abide by. Now, when you study the book, when you study the Ten Commandments, you'll see the first 5 verses of the commandments deals with how we are to be in honor to God has been servitude. When you look at the second part of the Ten Commandments, which is the 6 through Acts 10, you'll see how God is dealing with us on how we need to deal with men, coming together and dealing with men. I declare that the word of God does speak over in the book of Deuteronomy. And I'm sorry, Psalms, I'm sorry, a little tangled here, but we loose it in the name of Jesus. And Psalms 133, when it deal with Aaron, it said how the blood flows, or the oil, which is a representation of the blood, flows from the top of Aaron's head down his beard. And it begins to declare and decree that how good it is for men to dwell together in unity. Unity is one of the most powerful packed things that the kingdom of God can ever establish when we all playing by the same rules and regulations. There's no big I's, there's no big U's, there's no my church is bigger than yours, there's no bishop, there's no apostles, even though we know they're out there. But we come together as a man of God and women of God on a team. There is no greater one on the team because we all play together. We remember we're all just men and women. We carry these titles. We live in a world now where titles seem to gain rank over each and every other individual. But God never proceeded for us to have a rank over the top of one another, but for us to be able to work together in unity, whether we be a bishop, whether we be a pastor, whatever it may be. But for somehow, some reason, we go by to get us a little pawn shop ring. Somebody put some letters on a board for us. We put it on internet station, and all of a sudden we call ourselves outranking other men. Now, I'm not saying that Moses was greater than Joshua, and Joshua wasn't greater than Moses. You know, neither when you look at David and his work, he wasn't better than Ezekiel. He wasn't better than Obadiah. These all men came together to do the work that God called them to do. The midst of God calling them to do the work, they begin to do the unity thing in terms of writing this word, which is the God's word, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it bring confirmation to us as men and women of God to understand that Apostle Paul said that we ought to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Now, Paul didn't say we can't think high. You know, me not playing collegiate sports as a cornerback, I'm pretty good at what I do, had some NFL tryouts, didn't make it in quietly, but I understood one thing. Even though I may have been good at my position, there was another 11 positions on that field that I need to play in coalition with to make this a team be a supporter, to be able to move forward with what God is calling us to do, or be able to go up and down the field and be able to score at times we need to score points, or hold the defense or hold the offense to certain points. And that may the offense may come in. And when you're speaking about that, it just brings a revelation to my mind how God has designed you to have a defense for everything that you go through. And he has designed you to have an offense for everything that you go through. Meaning when you go through struggles in your life, God said, look to the commandments. The commandments is a very basic structure. As if you're going to come into the kingdom, receive the blessings of God, you're going to have to know the playbook. You're going to have to know the rules and regulations of the kingdom. One thing we hear all the time that people say, yeah, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. But most people get the keys of the kingdom, they don't know how to get around the kingdom. The main thing in the kingdom is prayer. It releases that what we need in our lives, that we may come forth and do what God has commanded us to do according to his will. Now, these things that we speak is not to a point that that people don't know about them. They know them. But, you know, the word of God speaks in the book of Proverbs. It talks about how men lean to their own understanding. You know, he says, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all his ways. God has put in place a plan that will help you through any division that you deal with in your life. He's put a plan together so strategic that no man has got the ability to break it. Matter of fact, he declares it over in the book Lord, in the name of Jesus, Deuteronomy. We're right in Deuteronomy. He says about Deuteronomy, he says, is there anything too hard for him to do? Is there anything too hard for God to do? But he comes right back in the book of Jeremiah. Help me, Lord, as I continue to go through this power-packed word. I need your help in this because I believe you're about to go somewhere with this. Even as he speaks in the book of Jeremiah, he says it very clearly. Only honor the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They're good and not of evil. Now, I'm here to give you an expected future. That future is designed and engineered by the kingdom of God, that as you obey his statute and all of his commandments, God will by no means, according to Psalms 89 and 34, he won't break his covenant. He won't hold nothing back from you. That's what he says. He said no good thing over in the book of Psalms 84:11. No good thing will I hold from those who walk upright. Now, we got to be a people who walk upright. Psalms 84:11 makes it very clear. If you're obeying the commandments, if you're obeying my statutes, there's nothing I would hold from you. I wouldn't withhold anything from you. But in the midst, you have to learn to walk by faith. You don't have to learn to not worry about the things that happen in your life when it seems like trouble is coming. Now, he speaks a word over in the book of Deuteronomy about God's miracles. It says, all the commandments that which I command thee, this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live, now look what he said, and multiply, and go and possess the land. Now he talks about some stuff there. The only way you can possess what God has given you, what he's gave you authority to have, is you got to understand that the commandments are set in place for you to go by. You don't go out here running on the highway when it says 60, you're doing 80. If you get stopped, you're going to get a citation. You're going to get a ticket. And it's going to cause you to lose time off your job, away from your family, and it's going to take precious money out of your pocket that you labored to learn, that labored to have. Now, he said, but if you obey the commandments, the same thing in the kingdom, The key to everything in the kingdom is obeying the commandments first. As God begins to tell us, first obey my commandment and all of my statutes. Everything that I have put in place is for you to walk in obedience to you and receive the miracles that I have in store for you. Let's look at this really again. Let's look at it really close. Now, he makes it very clear. He say, all the commandments which I have commanded thee. It's an individual walk. You got to do your part. And in the process of doing your part, you got to be a light to shine upon others to know that your walk is demonstrated of the kingdom and the blessings and the favor of God fall on you. Now, we know favor ain't fair. When God give you favor with men, the credit bureau ain't got nothing to say. That means that when they say yeah, that means yeah. You know, but when they say no, when men say no, God says yes. Now, I'm not telling you that's right for you to go out and just blow the things that you have, because God wants you to be responsible of what you have in your hand, that he may multiply and give you more as you have need of in the name of Jesus. Now, he said, I command chapter 8 and verse 1, as I straighten myself out here, he said, all the commandments which I have commanded thee this day, shall you observe. That word observe is to acknowledge, to come in to comply, to understand that what he's putting in place is for your welfare. It leads you to the Jeremiah 29:11. It leads you to the blessings of the Lord, that it makes you rich. Now, the word of God says the blessings of the Lord. Now, he said it makes you rich, and it added no toil. Am I talking to anybody here? The blessings of the Lord, it makes you rich, and it adds no toil. Matter of fact, let's look at that. We go in the book of Psalms. Let's look at what the Word of God talks about, the blessings of the Lord. It makes you rich. Hold on here. Let's look at this. As we turn over here. It says the blessings of the Lord. Let me get over here. Now, the reason I said it makes you rich, because it's how you've been blessed. Proverbs 10:22 makes it very clear. Now, when we go to look at Proverbs 10:22, it says the blessings. I know it says the blessings. It didn't say the blessed. The blessings. It's ing on there. It's plural. The blessings of the Lord. Now, look what it says. It maketh rich. And look what it said, and it added no sorrow with it. That means when God puts his hands on you because of your right standings and what he declared from the kingdom, you don't have to worry about the toils. It means where things are beginning to come to you in your life automatically because of your obedience, because of the statutes and commandments that he put in place. Let's read on down and let's see just how this generates and how it takes place. He said, all the commandments which I have commanded thee this day do observe, that they may live and you may multiply. Multiply means blessings, everything that you need, financial gain. You hear knock your enemies down, you hear knock their teeth out. Everything that come against you, every kind of sickness, every kind of disease, financial need, everything is being met according to the kingdom of God. He said, go and possess the land. The land is meant, everything has been delivered unto you. Now, the word of God does declare he is giving you the land. The land, I mean, everything down here has got the ability to have an oversight on it. You got the ability to have according to your faith, meaning I'm not speaking prosperity here. I'm talking about the power the Lord has given you to command and declare and decree that it can be yours. He said to possess the land and which the Lord swore unto the fathers. Now we know in this Bible, when we look at the book of Deuteronomy, we got to think about the historical point of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the historical part of the book of Deuteronomy makes it very clear and very powerful about what the Word of God can do. Now, he says that that Deuteronomy is really just like a revised covenant. Because we look at the book of Numbers, we see how they gave in the wilderness, the men of God began to go out under Moses, being rebellious about the commandments that God gave them to do, and they began to stray, they began to err, they began to do opposite of what God has commanded them, and what happened? They begin to fall, and they get caught in the wilderness, and then the Lord said, okay, now all y'all going to die out in the wilderness. Everybody from 21 to 20 years down will live, but you people on up, y'all going to die. Now, this is what Deuteronomy comes in. This is one of the reasons Pastor Ellis calls it a new revised covenant. Because why? The first covenant failed. The first covenant is when it came up out of Egypt. And when it came up out of Egypt, God gave them specific commandments of what they need to do to get into the promised land. And as we know, that we go through the book of Numbers, we find out that he selected the 12 spies after getting a headache from all the people. And then they went over there and gave them another headache. And he told them to go over there and spy out the land and see if it's strongholds, see if it's bound, bring back the fruit. And them guys came back what they needed, but they came back with the wrong kind of word. And there's only two people who still with them in terms of what the promises God had. That was Joshua and Caleb. So we go to the book of Deuteronomy, we go through the process where they died off in the wilderness, and everywhere they walked around the mountain, every day there was a hump in the ground where somebody got buried because of their disobedience. God had made a declare the word on them that they would die off because of their disobedience. And when the dying began to stop, God gave a commanded word to Moses. He told Moses to put the serpent on the cross. Now, most of us don't understand and know that's the very symbol of the that's the very sign of the medical industry, the serpent on the sword, the serpent on the cross. It was the same type of serpent that was on the cross that stopped the death that's going forth with them that was out there in the wilderness. Now, let's move on this. Now, when we look at the book of Deuteronomy, we see that it was a revised covenant. The revised covenant means the ones who survived the wilderness attack or the wilderness displeasure because of their disobedience begin to do the Deuteronomy run. Now, we're looking at a revised covenant. We're looking at men and women of God who are coming up now who's going to be obedient to what God says. And as he began to tell them in the word, he said the commandments that all I gave to observe. Why is he telling them that? Because they know what happened to their forefathers. And let's go on down and let's see what it says. He says, the commandments which I commanded thee this day do and observe and do ye observe to do. And it may you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord has swore unto your fathers. See, they didn't want to take possession of it. Because of their disobedience. It's just like you and I. If God sent forth a prophetic word in your life and somebody prophesies a word in your life, remember, a prophecy doesn't carry an expiration date. Your job is designed to go back and get that prophetic word and exercise it till it comes to full fruition. But he goes on again in verse 2. He said, thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee thus 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee to know that which is in thy heart, whether keep the commandments or no. Now think about this. I had to put you through the test to get you to believe that what I'm doing in your life is more than what you can see. That when you begin to go through the struggles you're going through, will you turn to people? Will you turn to friends? Will you turn to events? Will you turn to all these other things other than God? Because he's telling you, I got to show you that man is not going to be the one that's going to promote you. Now, I use a man to bring a word into the land. We see that over in the book of chapter 3 of Amos. God said he don't bring a word in the land unless he reveals it through his prophets. So God brings the word into the land not for you to look at the man as a worshiper or the idol to a point that they are anything. God has commanded the word to the point that even when you obey his statutes and all of his commandments, he's going to be the one that's going to prosper you. Can I talk to somebody this afternoon in the name of Jesus? The word of God is declared over in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, who is Paul and who is Apollo? Did they get any kind of increase? God is declaring that one plants and one waters, but he gives the increase. Well, how does he give the increase? By you obeying your statutes and the commandments that he has set before you on this day. There's nothing, ladies and gentlemen, that we can't do if we don't follow the statutes and the commandment and all he observed us to do according to his will. It goes on in the third verse, and it says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Look what he's saying. He suffered thee, he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger. Sometimes God got to take you through some stuff to get you to some stuff. He said, and then that the manner which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that that might make thee know, the man doeth not live by what? Bread alone. But listen to somebody. Come on. Y'all got to work with me. But by what? Every word that does what? It's a going forth. It's a graduating word. It's a word that continues to move. God said, I'm the same today as it was yesterday. When we think about this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, God word has got the ability to heal. It's got the ability to shut down. It's got the ability to convict. It's got the ability to arrest. It's got to do everything that you command to do if you walk by faith. I don't care what you're dealing with in your life. I don't care what kind of financial devastation you're dealing with. I don't care if your husband acting crazy, if your wife acting crazy. You put that word on him. If you believe and declare that God is a God that he shall not lie, he's not a son of a man that he has to repent. He said, I've been given a commandment to bless you. We look at that in the book of Numbers. He said, I give a commandment to bless, and I will, I cannot, because my word will not go void. It got the power to accomplish. We see this, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Isaiah. The word of God is truth. He believes that everything that he's doing in the court of his word will move according to your obedience. There's nothing wrong with the word. It's the ground. It's us. We the ones got the problem. We the ones are all over the place. That's why it tells us over in the book of 1 Corinthians. First, let a man examine himself. Matter of fact, Corinthians 11:23, let a man examine himself to see if he's of the faith. Now, if you don't know who you are and who you belong to, then you're going to have a problem. If your faith is all jacked up from the flow up and you every time you go through something, you just cry and complain to God about everything, God wants you to stick your chest out and get your legs sturdy up under you and stand flat-footed in the gospel and believe that everything he told you is going to come to pass. Sometimes you got to close your mouth and quit talking to everybody about everything. Quit telling everybody the vision that God has given you. And if God put a man of God in your life to help you to go through, be obedient to it. Because I'm telling you, some of us are planting some seeds in our life, and that stuff will come back to haunt us. We'll do some people so bad, we'll talk about somebody so bad, we'll leave before our time, we'll lie about the word of God, we'll say the Lord has said, and we know he didn't, because the word of God said don't use his word in vain, but yet we do it anyway. And how many people are going to come to you and tell you that you lied when you put the Lord in it? Quit doing that. And be able to take the conviction that God has given you. If he got you somewhere in ministry and you don't feel like it's where you need to be, stay there until God teach you what you need to be taught. And if he tells you to move on, move on. Some of y'all just got to stay right there in that little coffin until you understand how to bring the light in rather than opening it up and going outside. Sometimes we got to know how to take conviction to the point that God is delivering us out of something that we're in. Now, when we look at the fourth verse in Deuteronomy 8:4, he says, "Thy raiment." Notice what it says, thy raiment wax not old upon thy, neither did the foot soles, look, did thy foot swell, swell these 40 years. Now, we're talking about a sustaining God. Your raiment didn't wear out, your clothes didn't wear out, meaning God is still providing you to go out and buy, whether it be Walmart, whether it be in the mall, or whatever it may be. But don't look at the clothes as being an event to make you feel good before people, because I ain't never seen a heart well suit. As we talked about this before, your heart is the sack of your soul, and whatever comes out of your heart proceedeth out of your mouth. If you think evil in your heart, guess what's going to come out? Remember, it's your soul. And that way, what harbors and filters through your heart comes out of your mouth. You got an evil spirit. You got an angry spirit. You got a talk about a person spirit. You got a gossip spirit. You need to shut that stuff off. You got two holes in your ear that you learn to hear. And if you don't know how to understand the process or listening with those, then you're going to have a real big problem moving forward with what God called you to do. Don't get to the point that you get so arrogant or so cocky and that you know so much of the word that you can't learn from nobody. You can't cook all the time, and you can't eat all the time. Sometimes you can eat all the food you want on the physical end, but sometimes when you're doing your sermons and study from the Word of God, you're plowing the Word all night long, you stand up, giving yourself a headache. And God said, you got to get you some REST, and you got to relax and let the Lord talk to you, and you got to close your mouth and hear what the Lord is saying. Just because you stay up all night studying the word all night, God will give you a revelation. And matter of fact, God said, I'll give you witty ideas. I'll give you ideas that will make you a millionaire tomorrow. And it ain't got to take all day. The word of God does declare, study the word to show yourself approved. But some of us think because we study the word so much that we're better than everybody else. Not so, ladies and gentlemen. Our job is to understand to let God lead. In the process of him leading, he give us the directions and the wisdom and the knowledge. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get educated. I've been to school myself, theological seminary myself. been to Greek mythology courses myself, all these things, Greek language and all that. But you know what? I found out that there's nothing more powerful than the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's going to teach you and lead you into all truth, not what a man teaches you. Like he says over in the book of 1 Corinthians. He says over 1 Corinthians, you read 1 Corinthians, over in the second chapter, he says, a man only knows the things of a man, but no man knows the things of the Spirit, save the Spirit that's in him. If your spirit all jacked up and you think you go your ways of gaining the world at a sense that you don't understand God, according to Matthew 6 and 33, to seek him first, I'm telling you, you're in a bad position right now, and you need to learn how to repent. I wish some of you would have came on last week and heard the message that we spoke on repent, that you got to repent, how John the Baptist began to bring forth the word, and all he said, I'm just a forerunner to do the work. There's one who's coming greater and mightier than I. When you understand that your degree on the wall is not more than what the Bible says, the wisdom that you have, because it says for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, far beyond any PhD degree. God has got something that will knock you clean out the box, that will just mesmerize you beyond doubt. And let us get back in this word, because I'm going to get too carried off, because I want to open up the line for those who want to come in and be a part and speak out on this. It says in Deuteronomy 8 and 5, thou shalt also, listen to this, consider in thy heart. When we talked about the heart, the heart is the sack of your soul. The heart is the sack of your soul. Many of y'all won't get that because you need to know that, because you didn't understand what Galatians 5 tells you about flushing spirit and how you need to walk in the spirit. But what you get in your soul goes through your heart, and if it comes out of your heart, reflects who you are. He said, thou shalt also consider thy heart, that as a man chasteth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteth thee. He's always going to be at you. My little five-year-old dude, I'm constantly telling him, look, watch your mouth. Don't talk bad. Be obedient. You know, if I didn't care anything about her, I'll let her talk any way she want to talk, and I think it's so cute. That, you know, that don't make sense. You want your kids to grow with the obedience to understand that as a God, that they got to be obedient to, as well as the parents. The word of God said, obey your parents and your days will be long. You got to obey your parents. He goes on in the sixth verse, and I'm not trying to take up too much time here, but I feel a spirit moving in this teaching. For those who want to learn something, you need to apply ear. You need to do a Revelation 2 and 7 and hear what the word of God says. He who has an ear, let them hear. This is not about education. I ain't got to bring a bunch of words out to you and make you feel that what I'm saying is so baffled, but I'm bringing to you in just a common layman way that you got the ability to understand everything that I'm telling you. The ministry is not hard. The gospel is not hard. The word of being obedient is not hard. But we seek other men that will give us papers on the wall to make us feel better than everybody else. Come on, somebody. All those things you got it for a work term. It elevates you in what? The natural world. But it won't elevate you in the kingdom world. Because when you lay down in that box and you stressed out before that pulpit, that paper don't go nowhere. But in the mouths of people who tell you, well, you know, he got a degree from here, he got a degree from that. But what kind of degree you got going to the kingdom? Are you going to graduate to the kingdom of God? That's what I'm talking about. He says over in the seventh verse, for the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the good land. Come on, somebody. Why would he bring me to the good land? Because I'm obeying the statutes and commandments. I'm doing all to observe that what he's telling me. Now, the land means the blessings will flow in your household. The blessings will flow in your life. Health, healing. Diabetes be healed. You know, heart conditions will be healed. Problems in your body. Everything that don't relate to what God created you from the kingdom has got the ability to be transformed and changed. Because everything you need is in the kingdom. Am I talking to somebody? If you need a heart, it's in the kingdom. Sometimes you got to go back to the manufacturer. When God said it's bad, and the man, when man says it's bad and God says it's still good, just come up here and pray to me and believe me, I'll heal you. Is anybody? Can I talk to somebody this afternoon? Too many times we living in the church now to a point we rally people together. And as we rally people together, then we think we moving in ministry. No, Jesus took 12 disciples, and turned the world upside down. As a matter of fact, when he came over to begin to feed the 5,000, let me put it like this. You never saw Jesus walking to the door and begging everybody, well, can you give to us? Can you give us some money?
Can you give us an offering? Because we're trying to get the ministry more. We're trying to raise. We're trying to get a bank. We're trying to do something for the kids. No, God said, oh, you ain't got to follow that. You ain't see Jesus walking through the door doing nothing. He spoke a word, and whatever wasn't there existed. In other words, we go to our cabinets, and we look in our cabinets, and we see what's not there. We go to the store, we begin to purchase. No, God, all he got to do is open his mouth. He don't even come up off his throne. When them boys begin to follow him, he said, no, all of y'all follow me, because I'm about to feed every last one of all that you can eat, and then there's going to be something left over. I'm talking about some power and faith, not because you get hits on your Facebook, not because you get hits on your Twitter, not because your church full. You got to understand, when all that falls to the ground, where are you? I hear people using all kinds of scriptures to try to defend the word and what I'm speaking on today about how they will relate success to an environment of people coming around. There's nothing wrong with people coming to your church. They come to my church. But one thing about it I've learned, they'll leave you in a nanosecond. Your friends will leave you. Am I talking to somebody? The ones who's closest to you will shut you out. Jesus declared that word already. A prophet is not even honored in his own town and in his own country. And if anybody you want to talk to about that, get on the line and call me. I'll tell you about some personal stuff. There's some people that do you wrong, that cut your head off. And then they hit you in the head with a hammer and let you lay there to die. But you got to understand that you're girded by the Holy Spirit. You're girded by God. He's the one keeping his arms around you. That's why he began to speak over in the seventh verse of Deuteronomy 8. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into what? The good land. What? The good land through obedience. He says over in Psalms 84 and 39, he says, my covenants I will not alter. If God said he's going to bring you to the good land, then you need to get yourself on the obedient trip. And you need to start doing things right. There's something in your life that's not going right. What you have to do is get down on your knees and begin to pray God and ask him to forgive you. That's what he says. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, all old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Matter of fact, he'll look at you just like this. When a newborn baby comes out of the canal, you can't hold them for no sin because they ain't lived that long. They ain't done nothing. And that's how God washes you in his blood. And when he washes you in his blood, what does he do? He says he throws it in the sea of forgiveness. Now, here's what the hypocrites do, the ones who don't like you when you prosper. They'll put on a special type of scuba gear. They'll go down in that sea of forgiveness and bring all your stuff up about you, what you used to do. No, I'm walking with the kingdom. I'm walking with the kingdom of God. And that's what they did, try to bring things back at you to make you feel opposite of what God has promised you. But how many people understand the word of God said no weapon form? Now, he says over in the 8th verse, the land of wheat, that's your financial, barley, all the credit that you need to establish things here on earth, your vines, all that stuff that you have will prosper in your hand, your figs, you will eat the good of the land. I'm talking, ladies and gentlemen, you ain't got to worry about your credit. I'm talking about living debt-free on some stuff, and you don't have to worry about nothing. I'm talking about walking in your backyard, and you, matter of fact, let me tell the story of what Bishop Atuta Bismarck said about a brother over in Zimbabwe. They said over in Zimbabwe has been known to have some of the largest diamond mines in the world. But there was a young man who was praying about his financial stability in his household. Tudor Bismarck went on to say that the man of God prayed for maybe months or years, and he walked out in his backyard one day, and he was getting ready to strike and do a garden. They say that as soon as he put the hammer in the ground, they say he hit a hard substance. He began to bring the hard substance up. It looked like all crubby. It looked all dirty. But he began to wash it, and he began to clean it off, and he discovered it may be a diamond. But after he cleaned it and took it to the people, they said he discovered a diamond. I mean, the brother came a multi-millionaire over one strike of a hammer. That's how fast God can work in your life. They say he found a diamond as big as his fist, uncut diamond in his backyard, and all he did was go out there and believe God in his prayer, and all of a sudden he swung a pick in the ground and he struck a hard substance and he pulled out his blessing out of the ground. Don't tell me what God can't do in the name of Jesus. I believe in those kind of miracles. I don't know about you. some people feel that they're driven by the success and accolades of other people. But I'm telling you, me and this woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis and Pastor Charles Ellis and this little woman of God, Marcella, and all of my kids, you know what? We walk by faith. We don't need a whole bunch of people around us to make us feel good. We don't need a bunch of hit on Facebook. We don't need a bunch of tweets to make us feel successful. We're successful in the eyes of the kingdom, whether you be there with us or not. Because the word of God says over in the book of Romans 1:17 that the just shall walk by faith. That we were counted for righteousness according to the kingdom of God. And we don't need people to push us up and make us feel good. Because we know if God has given us a vision, it don't take a whole lot of people around us to help us go where we're going. But we know one thing, that we're just. And we live by faith. Our household is blessed. We're not wanting for nothing. Am I talking to anybody in the name of Jesus? God is preparing some supernatural things for this ministry in the Ellis household in the kingdom of God in this upcoming year, just like he did last year, and just like he did the year before. But I believe there's a greater plateau in what God is moving us in this prophetic walk. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what's going on in your body. I don't care what you've been dealing with. The word of God has got the ability to bring you. I don't care what your husband is acting like. I don't care what your kids are acting like. But if you believe in God, and if there be a God in heaven in the name of Jesus, he can bring you out of whatever you in. I'm telling you, if you can learn to understand and realize that he's your heavenly provider. Now, we're not talking about the denomination. We're not talking about the Pentecostal. We're not talking about the Lutherans. We're not talking about the Baptists. We're talking about kingdom work. We don't get caught up in cliques, clubs, titles, and games and positions. We say that we're a church saved by grace. Where's the church at, Pastor Ellis? Well, we're over here. What's the name of the church? We just church. Saved by grace. So once again, for those who want to be a part of this ministry and hear what the word of God has said, there have been some struggles. I can deny that not. But any man who claims that his ministry is doing well with no lumps and bumps, then he's got a problem. Because he's not confessing the truth. That when you walk in this thing, you got to get built up. And you got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The word of God does declare that the kingdom of God does suffer violence. But I'm telling you, man and woman, God, the violence are taken by for a wonderful chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. I would take advantage for you to read that if you're dealing with some struggles in your house, if you're dealing with some struggles in your life, if you're dealing with some struggles in the midst of your body. I don't care what you're dealing with. God has got the ability to bring you out. Line that thing up with the word of God. Decree the word of God. Declare that God is a God that he shall not lie, nor the son of a man that he has to repent. His commandment is given to bless. It will not go back. But I'm going to open these lines up for those who want to call in, those who need prayer, those who want to submit their life to Christ. It doesn't matter to me. My thing is that I'm not anybody. I'm just a man of God ministering the word to those who have an ear to hear. Whether you receive it or not, that's up to you. Whether you kickling and laughing about it, that's up to you. But I tell you one thing, this word will go forth, and it's going to accomplish all that it said it's going to do. Matter of fact, I don't even look at what people think or say about me, because you know why? That's the biggest problem in the world today, what people think about you, what they say about you. And one thing about us, we always never want to work together. We always want to beat each other down. We know more than the other. We got something to say when we're in the ministry that seems to be better than somebody else. We never can come together collectively and do things right. That's why the ministry is so scattered now. You got this pastor saying one thing about another. You got this prophet saying one thing about somebody else. You got somebody coming against you this way, that way. And then you wonder why things are all jacked up all around you, because you jacked up. Because you can't get along with the word of God says in Psalms 133. You got to know how to dwell together in unity. If you ever played anything collegiate, any kind of sports team event, you need to be a part of something that you can be obedient to and come subject to it, that you may live and do what God has commanded you to do. I don't know about you, but I'm living with the kingdom of God. And I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that no weapon can be formed against me shall prosper. And that way nothing will be able to stand. I thank you for being on the show. I thank those of you who are about to pray for, receive the blessings of the Lord, that even in the midst of the life that seems to be a struggle, God is about to bring you out. Matter of fact, ain't about to. He's already brought you out, because it's by your faith that you receive up what God has in store for you. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? Because God has declared according to his kingdom. When you understand to give your life to him, he will begin to transform and change things in your life. And I'm telling you, even for the prayer of salvation, as I read now for those who really want to give their life to Christ, and I read it, and I want you to hear it very well. God loves you. Sin separated people from God. Jesus died for us for our sins. You cannot receive Jesus unless you acknowledge him. You got to be able to acknowledge him. You got to be able to open your mouth, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that he has raised from the dead, and he come to save you from whatever it is that you're in, that he gave you the ability to have a 2 Corinthians 5:17, that everything in your life has passed away, and everything has become new. And this prayer that I pray for you, if you pray it out loud with me, you receive it in the name of Jesus, and we declare by the word of God that you shall be saved. You didn't got to stand up before a bunch of people and hear what they got to say about you, whether they make you, whether they judge you on some kind of panel or not. You can go right in the midst of your bedroom and get down to your knees and say, Lord, you know, it's something I've done that wasn't right and it's something I'm struggling with, but I can't do it by myself. I'm asking you to bring me out. As you pray this prayer, write these things down in the list that you're dealing with and begin to bring it to the Lord in prayer. As I pray for the word of salvation, for those who want salvation, I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me. Heavenly Father, in the name, I repent of my sins and open my heart to let Jesus come in inside of me. Jesus, you are Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. That little prayer right there will open up a whole world of Deuteronomy for you. You know, it give you all the stuff that you need. If you are true to God's word, you must direct any sinner that you have to this prayer, that you can be saved, that you ain't got to live your life hoboing your way into the kingdom, spicy language, putting stuff down your neck that you don't want to put about down your neck, putting stuff up your arm you need to put on your arm, sleeping around in multiple places, don't know what you're going to catch, indecisive about relationships. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you get too old for that stuff. And if you're still doing it, guess what? That generational curse can never be broken. You got to break that syndrome of diabetes. You got to break that syndrome of heart pain. And it's through your faith that you believe. Whether these lines light up or not, it doesn't really matter to me because I preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm not going to come in line and give you a word to make you feel good. I'm going to tell you, if you're not doing right, you're going to hell. If you're going to live right, then you got a way to go to the kingdom. That's what you don't hear right now in the church. You get a lot of glamour and good songs and music, and you get in there and get a good feeling, and then you walk back right into a pit of hell again because you have nothing to carry on with you. We thank each and every one of you for being a part as I pray in the name of Jesus. Are there any comments that anyone have to say? The call-in number to this station is 347-637-1074. And you can touch number one on your little tattletale button, and it'll light you up. And I'll be glad to pray for whatever it is that you need to be prayed for. But right now we're getting to open up, and we're going to let it go. We believe God has got the ability to do everything and all things. The word of God says no weapon can come against his word. The devil cannot cross the blood. We plead the blood on everything that we pray in today. We bind every negative thing in your life up, and we send it back to hell and adopt in the blood chains of Jesus. And we declare by the word of God that you shall survive. You will arrive. You are anointed. You are prosperous. You are smart. You are lovely. God does care for you. He does need you to help to spread the word into the kingdom. Don't think that you're not needed, but God needs you. Father God, I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you, Father God, for giving me the word that comes straight from the kingdom. Father God, I declare the word by the kingdom of God and by the precious power of your Holy Spirit, that even those who are listening, Father God, that they receive it and graft the word through the power of God and through the power of the kingdom. The knowing it to you, Father God, that's not a weapon formed against either one of them that got the ability to prosper. Father God, I'm asking you to go to every household where there seems to be trouble, Father God. Let your spirit begin to move, send forth your angels, Father God, not just one but a legion, to take care of every problem, Father God, that's going on in their life. Whatever it may be in their health, send your healing angel, Father God, to shut down every fiery dart of the enemy, Father God. And I believe as you send your angels out of that legion, Father God, you're sending an angel, Lord, to break the back of lack right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever their financial struggles are, Father God, whatever the word that came to them, Father God, I believe according to the word that it says over in Isaiah 53, that who has believed that report and who has the arm that report been revealed, every word that ever spoke to their heart, that make them feel convicted about what you told them for the kingdom. I loose it in the name of Jesus. I come against every form of heart disease, every form of thyroid, Father God, every eyesight problem, every hearing aid problem in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God that every foot problem be healed, every arthritis pain to be taken away in the name of Jesus. I declare the word according to the kingdom, and I plead the blood on every organ in their body, Father God, that they be lifted and they be transformed and changed according to the kingdom of God, according to the power of the Spirit, that even as they begin to receive this word right now over this broadcast, that no weapon, no form, shape, or fashion, anything against them will have the ability to prosper, and nothing will go back in their end. Father God, I declare the word that it's got a foundational healing. It's got a foundational miracle. Well, it's got a foundational releasing of the anointing of God, that even when they begin to open their mouth and believe in you, Father God, and call on Romans 4:17, I know that in the midst of their struggle, Father God, you would deliver them, keep them safe going into this holiday season, that not one of them be plucked out in their families. I put a hedge around every family, Father God, that's going through a tormenting time in this season, Father God, that their kids are coming as a subject of the power of the Holy Spirit, and they'll come to that mother and that father and say, what must I do to be saved? I don't want to live the life I'm living no more. Let none of them run to any problems or any circumstances, Father God, that will imprison them or hold them, Father God, and even the ones who's already there, Father God, let the word begin to penetrate their cells, that they begin to believe and declare that, Father God, upon the release of Father God, that they want to change their life and do something different, that they don't want to go back or they want to go forward. Father God, I ask you for the releasing of the Holy Spirit right now, and I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit, even as we pray for every one of the mothers, Father God, I pray for my co-worker's mother, Father God, who had a sudden illness today, Father God, and they were rushing to the hospital, that he'll be healed, that she'll be healed, Father God, even the fathers will be healed by the word that comes, by the healing that you're going to do in this woman in God's body. Father God, look over my mother. Touch her in the name of Jesus. Not only my mother, Father God, but I plead the blood over every one of the mothers who's going through any kind of sickness in their body, Father God. I declare by the word of God that they get a kingdom blessing, a kingdom healing in the name of Jesus, Father God. And you say, live, Father God. So what can a man do to me? Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I declare the word that it go forth. It will not come back void, but it'll have the power to accomplish, do that all in their end. I thank you, Father God, for Pastor Aston Adams, Father God, for Elder, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that even as he begin to pray, Lord, the prayers over his ministry and keep the stability of the power of the Spirit hovering over us, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that he's got the ability to shut down and knock down every soothsaying voice, everything that calls out against that what you're doing. Father God, loose it in the name of Jesus. And I command by the word of God that even as they begin to open their mouth, Lord, they be taught to say the right things, that they'll believe and declare and decree that even in the midst, as your prophet begin to speak, that there's already been a word that's going through the kingdom. And I declare it been done. These things I'm asking not of myself, but through the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. But once again, we thank you for joining us. I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. I want you to know, for those who want to call after the show, if there's a personal prayer you need, you can call 214-870-2146. Or if you want to leave your prayer request on our website, you can go to our website, which is harvestnewlifechurch.com. And there you will see in the area where we have the prayer request, and we will gladly take your prayer request, and we'll hold it before the Lord as we pray each and every night about God's stability and power in your life. We thank you once again for being a part of the show. Join us once again on Monday as we start out at 7 o'clock. For those of you who want to come to our Sunday service, such as starts at 10 o'clock, let us know. We'd love to have you come out and sit with us. We'll be still dealing with the area of repentance. In the name of Jesus, it's good to repent now because we're coming to a new year. Shake all that crust off. Don't get no erroneous ideas in your head about this upcoming season. But thank God that he let you live this far and this long, that you may have the pleasures of what he has stored upon your life. Once again, I thank you for joining me and being a part. And I'll leave you with a song as always. He reigns forever. God bless you and God keep you.